It's good to be back. We have a great show lined up for you today.
I'm not as welcoming, but back, I guess is what I would say.
Yeah, you're
not
just
welcome.
Back.
Just back.
You're just back.
We come off the holiday, and I hope you had a good one. I know Glenn was up at the ranch doing all sorts of stuff. We have great, amazing audio today, including Democrats telling you that it's good to tax the poor because they might spend money on things that are bad for them.
But they might.
But they might, and that's
they
bad.
They might.
I don't know if you know that. That's bad. Then we have Jeremy Corbyn on Iranian TV. Saying there's a weird bias in the BBC saying that they that Israel has a right to exist. And that's a problem. That's a huge problem there. We have Cory Booker with an ad about love and coming together while calling the president a bigot, which is always it's a good way to bring people together by calling the person that 50% of the population voted for out of control bigot, which implies, I don't know if you know this, that the people who voted for him are also bigots. Right? But there's an implication there that's a little problematic. We'll get into all that today.
Yeah. I didn't see that.
We have more on impeachment, what's going on at the Supreme Court, two people dropping out of the presidential race. It's all coming up on today's radio program.
Hello, America, and welcome to Monday. And a great Monday it is. No, seriously, I say that with some good news coming your way. We have that and so much more, you know, all the bad news as well, in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
When you're trying to save for a down payment on a house, it sometimes can seem like you're trying to do the impossible. But I'm here to tell you, it doesn't have to feel that way. If you're responsible with your money, the best thing you can do for yourself is give American Financing a call. They have salary-based mortgage consultants that believe that you shouldn't have to put 20% down in order to pre-qualify for a mortgage. They have access to down payment assistance programs that can customize any loan in the industry. You could be looking at spending a whole lot less on a down payment than you originally thought. Now, 10 minutes. 10 minutes is all it's going to cost. You take 10 minutes. There's no fees or anything else. It'll take you less time than you're going to spend making the toast this morning. American Financing, a mortgage company for everybody. Doesn't matter where you are in the process, they can help. It's worth 10 minutes of your time to find out if you could be saving $1,000 or more every single month. Call American Financing at 800-906-2440. That's 800-906-2440 or AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing Corporation, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
I want to talk to you about a choice that we all have to make, and it's time we make it. We either believe in an American dream or we believe in the American nightmare. Now, the American dream has changed. It was changed by FDR, quite frankly. It was changed. It was changed to everybody has a house, everybody has a car, everybody has enough. That's not what the American dream was. The American dream was to come here and to start something and be your own person, be able to have control over your own life. Now, the other American dream, while it was officially kind of changed and mutated by the FDR administration, that American dream that he was touting was prevalent in America for a long time, started in 1619. Started in Jamestown. We started bringing slaves in. The British did. People came here for money and power. But that's not the American dream. That always turns into the American nightmare. The world has always had dreams and nightmares. Man makes both of them. But man has made nightmare after nightmare after nightmare. And usually, in the modern world, it was done in the name of common good, over common sense. It was done in the name of power and control instead of control on power. That's the fundamental difference between the dream and the nightmare. And we have to decide which one we want to be a part of. Because they're both very real. The American dream is as real as the American nightmare. But nobody's being taught this anymore. Of all places, George Washington University celebrated Transgiving last week. University of Florida students last week marked it by calling it a celebration of genocide. Well, I guess it is if you believe that America was founded in 1619, but it wasn't. Even the American dream wasn't part of anything to do with Jamestown. That was the American nightmare. But that's being taught, as the New York Times calls it, 1619. Now 1619 is being taught even in your children's schools. And I'm not talking about high school. They are now starting to teach that America began in 1619. We've had enough nightmares. We've had genocide. We've had people like FDR who recrafted the dream. Remember, recrafted it from this idea that you can make it yourself to an all-powerful government whose birth was 1619 in Jamestown, which allowed him, the progressive hero, to put Japanese in internment camps. It allowed Jackson to round up the Indians and slaughter them. There's a new book out that I've been reading. It's about Sidney Gottlieb. I don't know if that name triggers anything in you. Perhaps it should. Here's a guy who retired at 55 years old. By all accounts, people who knew him at his retirement, everybody thought he was a great guy. He went and he decided that he wanted to finally do what he and his wife had always wanted to do, and that is go down to the port and just get on the next ship, wherever it was going, no agenda, and just serve people. So he went to Asia, and he was serving as a doctor there. He went to India. He started living in leper colonies. He was one that would embrace the lepers and help them. By all accounts, this guy was great. Until the United States Senate called him back because they wanted to know what the CIA's chief medical scientist had done in the previous 25 years. He was experimenting on children as young as 6. He was the guy who used LSD and heroin as mind control drugs. He developed the torture techniques that we're all ashamed of. He is America's Jekyll and Hyde. How did that happen? How does a guy who is serving people, how does he go do the things that he did? By the way, he was never brought to trial. He was never really fully exposed because he burned all of the documents. Everything the CIA had on him, he destroyed before he left. He knew. He also committed suicide before any more could be dug up about him. He knew. He knew. But he had justified it in the name of this great country, in the service of the greater good. And he used science in the same way that Winston Churchill spoke of. Churchill said that we are in a time where the world is made darker by the dark lights of perverted science. Boy, does that sound like it could be said today. We are living in the world that is made darker by the dark lights of perverted science. We have to choose common sense over the common good, power and control, or power or control over power. We must choose the bright lights of truth over the dark lights of perverted science. If we don't, those who follow the path set in 1619, one of slavery, plunder, and death, will repeat itself, especially if that's all they know. And it will be done in the name of superiority or superior race, superior thought, even. It doesn't make a difference. Are you saying that everything is the same? No. No, there is superior thought. There is. There are superior cultures. I think our culture is superior over a cannibalistic culture. But the idea has to be based on common sense over common good. Because it's common sense that we, I think, parrot, and yet we don't really ever stop to search its meaning. See, the difference between 1619 and 1620, where the pilgrims landed, is it was about the individual, and it wasn't about stuff. It was about being able to control your own life and have your own ideas to worship God in your own way. But you had to live with your neighbors. See, in Jamestown, they didn't have Thanksgiving. But in Plymouth, they did. And they had it with the Native Americans. They had the longest running peace treaty with the Native Americans in our history. The Pilgrims did. The Pilgrims did. And by the way, they didn't break it. It was the Native American that broke it. But see, out of the pilgrims came the idea that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. You know the words, and they all sound like blah, 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 blah to most people because they think people didn't mean it. And you know what? A lot of people didn't. A lot of people still don't. A lot of people on Capitol Hill today will tell you all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. They'll usually drop the creator part, and they don't mean equal. They mean equal. Yes, we're all equal, but some are more equal than others. But it is only the search for the true meaning of that that stops oppression. Stops one man on top oppressing the other, rich over poor, powerful over the weak. It was a revolutionary idea in 1620. It's a revolutionary idea in 1776. It's still a revolutionary idea all around the world. This is why you saw over the weekend people gathering in Hong Kong flying American flags. Because it's still a revolutionary idea. It's strange to me that I can watch a group of people literally on the other side of the earth, and I can watch them in real time on technology that came from this country, came from individuals having the power to create and keep their creation. We can watch on those devices people across the world holding American flags. It seems as though they know who we are, as more and more Americans forget. Or perhaps we've fallen asleep. Or in the best case scenario, perhaps those who know the difference have just fallen silent, thinking that it's okay to stay out of the fray. thinking that this too shall pass. I don't want to get involved. It's time to find ourselves again. It's time to stand up. It's time to give thanksgiving. It's time to learn from the nightmares while rekindling the dream. All right, some good news. I think you're really going to love. If you missed the Blinds.com Black Friday sale, don't worry. Blinds.com has extended it into Black Monday. Now through December 4th, visit Blinds.com for amazing doorbuster deals and up to half off on all brand new blind shades, plantation shutters, and so much more. Now, maybe you need to spruce up the home office. Maybe you're in need of a living room renovation. Or maybe it's time to get new window coverings for the entire house. In any case, Blinds.com has you covered. Every order gets free shipping, and their 100% satisfaction guarantee means that if you're not totally satisfied with the style, the color, the quality, they're going to remake your window treatments for free. Now, if you accidentally mismeasure or measure wrong, they even remake them for free for you. So go to Blinds.com now through December 4th for the huge Cyber Monday savings and get up to 50% off of all blind shades and shutters. Plus, get an extra $20 off with the promo code BECK. That's up to 50% off absolutely everything and an extra 20% off at Blinds.com. Promo code BECK. Rules and restrictions do apply. 10 seconds, station ID. You know, I don't think that there is a better understanding, of the difference between the dream and the nightmare than some of our songs from history. When we listen to the patriotic songs, if you listen to patriotic songs, it's from different cultures and countries. Many times it's about the land. Many times it's about how strong the people are. Many times it's about the rulers. But if you look at America the Beautiful, the only one that we sing about, the only phrase we ever sing is about the land. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains, majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. But that's not the America that we have anything to do with. That's the America that God shed his grace on. That's the land. That's all that is. Man has nothing to do with that. God has graced us with a great land that is beautiful, resource rich. It's our inheritance and one we are stewards of, not owners. But if you listen to the other parts that we don't ever sing. You first stumble on to the pilgrim feet, not 1619 in Jamestown, but the pilgrims whose stern, impassioned stress, a thoroughfare of freedom beat across the wilderness. The pilgrims were not about even progress. They weren't about money. They were about freedom. They also knew that they were flawed human beings. That's why in the second verse, it's God, mend thine every flaw. Confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law. See, this is the part of the song that I don't think any of us concentrate on. God, mend thine every flaw. Are we even asking for that? We're asking for our way. We're asking for things to happen the way we feel. But that's what's gotten us here. Confirm thy soul in self-control. And then this. Heroes proved in liberating strife. May God thy gold refine till all success be nobleness and every gain divine. The American dream. No nightmare can come out of this. No beautiful for heroes proved in liberating strife, meaning there's nothing that is bad. There is no strife that will harm you, who more than self their country loved, and mercy more than life. No nightmare comes of this. May God thy gold refine till all success be nobleness. How many of us are looking for nobleness, or are we just looking for success? We need to decide, nightmare or dream.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Christmas is on the way, and you're going to want to get your Christmas shopping done this year. Why not surprise that special someone you love with a gift that's going to remind them 'tis the seasoning. See, it's because I'm doing a steak thing here. OmahaSteaks.com. Enter the promo code Beck and order the favorite gift package, the gift all of your friends and family are going to love. It's $69.99. Now, it's Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher. Their steaks are the most tender, the most flavorful. You're going to love them. You order now, you'll get 4 6-ounce bacon-wrapped fillets. Oh, my God. The most tender steak in the world, 4 savory premium pork chops, 4 Omaha steak burgers, 4 perfectly browned potatoes au gratin, 4 made from scratch caramel apple tartlets, and Oma's steak signature seasoning, $69.90. But all you have to do now is just order the favorite gift package at OmahaSteaks.com. Make sure you type in Beck in the search bar. That's where you're going to be able to find this special. OmahaSteaks.com. Type in Beck in the search bar. Don't wait. The offer ends soon. Order now. OmahaSteaks.com. Enter Beck.
Coming up, we have new developments on what's going on with impeachment. Also, that's going to be followed up on tonight's TV show, BlazeTV.com. Use the promo code Glenn and get $10 off your subscription.
You know, the Pilgrims were English, and so I think it's appropriate today that we do reflect on maybe some things that you didn't say you were thankful for, you know, there at the, you know, at the dinner table. For instance, I'm very, very, very grateful for Jeremy Clarkson. Do you watch Top Gear at all?
Yeah, I watch some of it, yeah.
I love Top
Gear.
He's
great.
It's great.
Mm-hmm.
He's in trouble now because he says... Greta Thunberg is killing the car show. She's killing everything. I don't know if you know. She is like, oh my gosh. I think her parents just put her on a boat and like, no, you can't take an airplane. You got to take a boat, a very long boat ride across the ocean just to get her out of the house. Can you imagine living with her?
And if I'm not mistaken, they had to fly the captain of the boat across the ocean
to her parents
to then take the boat back across the ocean as if the carbon didn't count on the flight to get the captain there.
Right.
Right.
Of course. Mm-hmm. That's the parents.
That's the parents'
fault?
That's
the parents. That's the parents going, look, I don't care what you have to do. Fly the whole crew in overseas, whatever. She cannot take a plane. She will be home too quickly.
I do like that idea.
I think that's what it is.
It's not to protect her image, even though everyone realizes it's false.
She's complaining about everything now. Absolutely everything. And Jeremy Clarkson went on and said that she's ruining the car shows because nobody is interested in cars anymore. He said, you know, they're taught at school before they say mommy and daddy that cars are evil, and so it's in their heads. Richard Hammond came on and said, I hate to say it, but I think Jeremy is right. People don't care about cars because how many people are growing up with, you know, kids are growing up with posters of their cars in their room because they don't care about it because they're bad for the environment. So I want to give thanks for Jeremy Clarkson today because Clarkson made a joke once implying that murdering prostitutes is a common pastime for professional truck drivers. And he was they tried to get him off the show. Members of Parliament tried to get him fired for that, but he wasn't fired. He also apologized for calling the then Prime Minister Gordon Brown a one-eyed Scottish idiot. Because he's blind in one eye, so he's technically accurate.
He is Scottish?
Okay. He is.
So yeah, it is accurate.
Yeah, he is Scottish. And now this, thanks to that Swedish Thunberg girl, every child in the Western world is now absolutely terrified that by this time next year, they'll have died in a suffocating firestorm. So this morning, let's have a little story to cheer them all up again. He says, everyone says that climate change is terrible, but what if it's good for mankind? That's the thing about climate change. We keep being told the next shift will be a disaster for mankind, but who knows? You might wake up one morning to find your garden full of unicorns and mermaids and big chests full of jewels and money.
I mean, even the UN says it's going to be a net positive for, 60 or 70 years,
mm-hmm.
Where things will be. Now, that doesn't mean that your local area would be a net positive under their scenario, but as for the Earth as a whole, increased ability to grow and as we all know, the real extreme cold is worse than the real extreme heat. Extreme cold kills a lot more people,
right? Than the extreme heat. But what does Greta think about all of this? I mean, you know, because I don't know. Did you see the statement that she came out with this week? And she was. Hang on just a second. We have her on the phone? Hello?
You have stolen my dreams.
Pardon me?
You have stolen my dreams.
I've stolen your dreams?
And my childhood with your empty words.
I wasn't trying to...
I'm one of the lucky ones.
You're lucky?
People are suffering.
Uh-huh.
We must stop this. How dare you?
For what? How are they suffering again?
How dare you? If you do not stop driving your automobiles, I will personally take a knife and remove the thumbs of all the deniers. Because you do not care about human suffering. But How dare you?
Wait a minute. You would be causing human suffering by removing thumbs.
How dare you? For more than 30 years, the science has been crystal clear. And if you do not accept it, I will take a rusty railroad spike and rip open your abdomen and pull out your entire large intestine and slice it in its entirety the long way.
Could I ask?
Because you don't care about human lives. How dare you?
Right. Is there any truth to the rumor that maybe your parents are sending you on this global trip so they could be away from you? Is that
Mr. Beck, I will be watching you.
You'll be watching
me. I will be watching you.
All right.
Okay. And I will, if you only want to cut emissions by 50% and give us a 50% chance of survival, I will break into your home and I will kidnap your whitest child and I will personally lower their bodies into a vat of hydrochloric acid via cable. And I do this because you and your 0.9 degrees Celsius temperature rise don't care about the lives of children. Right, How dare you?
All right. Thank you very much, Greta. Which sounds like she's starting to become a supervillain. Because I'm pretty sure my kids would escape from whatever elaborate scheme that she had planned.
Even your whitest child?
Even my whitest child might be able to do that. Mm. All right, making a decision is really hard, especially decisions that require you to spend money. One decision that should be easy to make now is having good home security. There's no premium on peace of mind, but some good news for you. You're going to find that you need SimpliSafe and can afford SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe is your one-stop shop for home security needs. This week, SimpliSafe is offering their best deal of the year. You'll get 25% off of any new system, plus a free HD security camera with SimpliSafe. You're going to get everything you need to keep your home safe. Entry sensors, motion sensors, a smart lock, video doorbells, security camera, whatever you need. Plus, SimpliSafe offers the 24 protection monitoring with police dispatch that's 3.5 times faster on average than with all other security systems. So, if you've been waiting or you're on the fence about getting a home security system or you're thinking about getting one for maybe your children, don't wait. Right now, SimpliSafeBeck.com will give you 25% off your system plus a free security camera. This is the best deal of the year for SimpliSafe. Order this week. You'll get this exclusive offer, 25% off and a free security camera at SimpliBeck.com. That's SimpliBeck.com.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
So did you, by any chance, watch The Mandalorian?
I haven't done it yet.
Oh, it's so good.
It's the whole reason I ordered the stupid service and I haven't watched it yet.
I wasn't that impressed with the first one, second one. Now I'm starting to really get into it, you know? And what makes it is Baby Yoda.
I've been seeing this on the social media.
Oh.
Everyone's posting Baby Yoda. I don't really understand it
yet. So cute. I'm not going to tell you anything about it, but so cute. So cute. He's like, it's not Yoda because it's after Yoda's dead, so I don't know who it is.
It's some Yoda-like creature.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. My son tried to explain it. He knows all the canon of it. And so it's like Yoda, but not Yoda. I'm not sure. But he's like 50 years old, but a baby. And so incredible. It is everything that George Lucas has tried to do with every single episode of Star Wars, where he's like, I'm gonna put Jar Jar Binks in them because the kids will love it, and then everybody hates it.
Ewoks are on the borderline of that.
Yeah, right.
There's always something.
The Ewoks are in that borderline.
Well, look, I'm a very much a hater of Return of the Jedi. As like, I think it's a crappy movie. Actually, it's very mediocre, and everyone else thinks those first three are all on the same level, which they are not. The third one is much weaker, and it's largely because of the Ewoks.
Yes, I agree with you. I agree with you. I don't even like the Jawas. You know, they're like, you know, Houdini. That,
yeah.
I don't know why they're always talking about Houdini. I don't know why, but in everything. But, so I'm not a really big fan, because that was another thing where he's like, oh, I'm going to make these cute and the kids will love them. Now that he's not involved and Disney is involved, Disney's like, we know how to make cute things. Oh my gosh. You'll watch the show after like three episodes and you will just fall in love with Yoda. And I'm watching it last night. And I'm thinking, Disney is genius. Think of the money that they're going to make. They buy a Marvel, the Marvel universe. Mm-hmm. They buy the Star Wars universe. They put a Star Wars, you've been there, a Star Wars land in Disneyland, and then The Mandalorian comes out with Apple or with a Disney Plus, and it's brilliant. I would be so anxious to hear you say it, because I bet it is the same land that you find in Disneyland.
Ah, that's interesting. Yeah, we went over this last week a little bit. They have 6 movies this year that have already made $1 billion worldwide. 6 this year. That does not include Frozen 2, which is definitely going to make $1 billion if it hasn't already. It was the biggest opening animated film of all time. And does not include Star Wars coming out in a couple weeks, which is obviously also going to make $1 billion. So they have 8.
And I think they had six of the top seven movies. The only one they didn't have was Spider-Man, which my understanding is it's some sort of joint release. That's what everyone told me when we were talking about it, because it's Sony actually distributed Sony. It, but Disney still has a piece of that, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you want to talk, they're taking over the world. The mouse is going to be the king.
Netflix, I think, is in trouble. I think it's Amazon. Even Apple is really smart. Apple, the Apple Plus, it includes all of the other subscriptions that you might have. So, you know, if you have them, they all populate there, kind of like Amazon does.
Okay, yeah.
You know, so you're not, I think Netflix is the one in trouble. Now, they've been in trouble before, and everybody always says, oh, Netflixers, they're just shipping out DVDs. What do they know? Yeah, well, look at them.
Well, they also were so in trouble that they tried to sell their entire company for, I think it was $50 million to Blockbuster, and Blockbuster turned them down. They're like, no, thanks. We're not interested in that. That sounds like too much money for your particular service.
I think there's one Blockbuster left, and it's in, like,
there,
Oregon.
There is one
there's
left,
like
yeah.
It's in Oregon. There's one left.
There's always one left of these things when they go.
How?
I don't know.
Who is? Do you remember what it used to be like? Especially if it was going to be snow. You know, everybody else would be at the grocery store buying bread, and I'd be like, we got to go to the video store.
Yeah. And then there'd be no videos there.
Nothing. Nothing.
I mean, I know, like, there's the typical thing that as you get older, you start whining to your children about how tough your life was in comparison to theirs. I mean, it's the, you know, Bill Cosby pre-rape was talking about walking uphill both ways to school in the snow. Like, that, it's that same thing. But I can't even express to my children what the difference is. Like, I remember having to, like, search through, like, rare record stores to find a specific song that was released only in the UK that you could go. And, like, now it's the easy. Every song is available. Every movie is available. Everything is available all the time. And, like, it's just normal life to them.
My son, he comes and is like, hey, Dad, you got to hear this song. This is a great song. And it starts, and it's Big, you probably don't even know this, Big Iron by Marty Robbins.
Mm.
You ever heard of it? Okay, it's like an old, not country, it's a Western song.
Okay.
In the, when I first got into radio, in the West, there was country, and then there was a Western station. And the Western stations were like, I got some cattle, I'm driving to town, you know, that kind of stuff. Okay,
and country. They would do, like, cattle updates in the news in the morning, right? Like,
well, yeah, a lot of stations did that. The Ag Report, they still do that a lot of places. But there were the Western stations. That's completely gone. There is no cowboy songs. That whole culture is gone.
I've always think of it as country western being like the same thing.
It's not.
It's combined totally into one format. Is that not right?
Right. And western doesn't really exist anymore. Hmm. And it was the story. I mean, it was like, you know, I went down to El Paso and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
And so my son comes with Big Iron and I'm like, where did you, I haven't heard this since I was a kid. Where did you find this? And he's like, I was searching for something, and this one popped up, and I just love it. And he is, like, his musical taste is so broad and so deep where it's really, it's amazing what they have access to.
But every kid, like your kid, there's 3 million kids that are singing Baby Shark. That's the other part of this.
Can I tell you something? That's how I punish the family.
Yeah.
This holiday.
Really?
Yeah. Brought it up at the table. I have two grandchildren, and I'm just and there. People were arguing about something, and I said, "Hey, Cohen, you like that Baby Shark song?" He started singing it, and everybody looked at me like, "I can't believe you." And I'm like, "Well, you're not arguing anymore, are you?"
Yeah, it's a way of solving.
It's a way to solve everything.
I like that.
Yeah.
Do you know the Baby Shark people are pretty wealthy too? They've done fairly well for themselves,
mm-hmm.
and now they're trying to like figure. There's some weird like. Rights issue that they don't, it's not easy for them to make money off of it, so they've started like a tour now, the Baby Shark tour. Now, I don't know if you know this, but Baby Shark basically just says Baby Shark and then like I think Mommy Shark and a Daddy Shark and maybe Grandpa Shark or something, and then a bunch of nothing, right? Like that's the whole thing.
Hey, welcome to the Baby Shark welcome to the Baby Shark show. Here's a handgun so you can blow your brains out.
And in a sign of the internet not being worth it, I was reading an article about the Baby Shark tour,
And they apparently sing Baby Shark four times during the show, but only four times. So, like, how you have a whole show where people are spending like $60, $70, $80 to go to, and they're singing Baby Shark four times. The rest of the show, like, this is like one of those like one hit wonders where you go to see I Want Come On Eileen and they sing like 19 other songs. You only want Baby Shark if you're going to the Baby Shark tour. And your kids are driving you crazy to hear Baby Shark. You listen to it all the way to the stadium and you listen to it all the way home. But you're only getting it four times at the show? I think that's a ripoff. I think it should be all. It should just be playing the entire time you walk in to the entire time you leave. Just drive you completely insane. You've obviously given up on life if you're going to the Baby Shark tour. Just let it go.
We've given up on insane asylums. We don't have places to keep people after the Baby Shark show.
Maybe this is how the Baby Shark company makes...
Wow.
Maybe the Baby Shark branded insane asylums are the way for them to make money off of this thing.
Holy cow. All right. Back in a minute, more Baby Shark talk on the Glenn Beck Program.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
We did this one time, I remember, on the show, and it was about Peter King, the congressman, and we put up, or no, it was about Peter King, the sports writer, and we put up Peter King, the congressman, or one of the other.
And we were even more sorry than Joy Reid is.
Yeah, because, I mean...
Imagine being compared to Peter King.
terrible thing.
Terrible.
And we apologize for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to be compared to a Nazi. That is horrible.
This is clearly
worse.
This
is Peter King. Glenn Beck compared Peter King to Nazis. Oh, did you hear, by the way, did you hear what's his name, the comedian, said about being in Auschwitz?
Oh, it's a fantastic joke. It's a fantastic joke.
It's a great joke. Back in a minute.
Of entertainment and enlightenment.
Well, I don't think Louis C.K.'s contract with his audience, where you can't even write jokes down or talk about them after the show, is working so well. He's in trouble for another joke, and Stu, who is a joke aficionado.
Is that a title?
Well, yes, and you've been the head joke writer on this program until we stopped telling jokes because we couldn't get away with them for a very long time. We'd like to dissect the joke that Louis C.K. is in trouble with coming up in just a second.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Also, Joe Biden's hairy legs, which nobody wants to hear about. Nobody, Joe. Nobody.
No, he's telling people about them for some reason.
Scary. I don't know what's wrong with this guy. Giving gifts, wonderful part of the holidays. But give a gift to somebody who, you know, isn't trying to harm you. Wouldn't that be good? That's what you're doing if you're browsing or shopping online using unsecured Wi-Fi, even if it's password protected. You could be giving the gift of visibility into your personal information to hackers whose interest is to, you know, hack into your Wi-Fi connection, watch your activity, and jackpot, steal your information that you're sending and receiving. This is the worst time. In fact, today is probably going to be one of the worst days for cybercrimes because they're going to find your information. You're online buying stuff on Cyber Monday. You need protection that will evolve with you. And new Norton 360 membership provides multiple layers of protection with a secure VPN to protect your privacy on public Wi-Fi and provide real-time security for your devices. Now, nobody can prevent all cybercrime, but Norton 360 is a powerful ally for your cyber safety during the holidays and beyond. And until December 8th, you're going to get a special radio offer of up to 60% off an annual subscription on your first year at Norton.com/Beck. That's 60% off at Norton.com/Beck. All right, now we're going to go into joke analysis mode, which is always very good.
Everyone's beating up on Louis C.K. for this joke, and it's a typical effort to target, you know, a controversial topic or a controversial statement. And because it's easy, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, look, you know, Louis C.K. made a joke about Auschwitz. You don't normally do that. It's not a good idea. Although, I will say, it's what he built his entire career on, was making jokes about really uncomfortable topics. Now, taking out the idea of his personal troubles for a second, you know, I think Louis C.K. is a brilliant comedian. Mm-hmm. And he is a guy who can kind of go into places where no one else goes. And he's had trouble with this even before his personal issues, where he's made jokes about things like child molestation and all sorts of things you should not joke about. However, there's a reason you do that, right? And he's doing it to push those boundaries intentionally. And if you go to one of his shows, you know what you're in for. This is the point of it, right? He's taking you down roads. He's making you feel icky, and then bringing it back around. Like, he's a yo-yo. He puts you down to the darkest place that you're going to be, and then he brings you out of it somehow. Mm-hmm. So the joke he got in trouble with was, I mean, he said, I'd rather be in Auschwitz than New York City.
Now, if you've ever lived in New York City, there are times, not very often, but there are times that someone could say Auschwitz or more of this. And you'd go, well, no, wait a minute. Let me think about it.
Right. I mean, okay. So first of all, this is a joke not about Auschwitz.
Yes, it's not.
But about New York City.
Correct.
Right. The point is, he's comparing New York City to something very, very, very bad.
Right.
However, it's not even really a joke about that. And the reason he's saying it's about New York City, because he's saying, you know, it's tough now for him, right? Like, he's gone through his personal sort of storm here.
Mm-hmm.
He makes jokes about that as well. How it's not a good idea maybe to offer to show certain body parts to people. That's maybe not...
Right.
Not necessarily. The term he said is, it's not very popular.
Right.
Which is true.
Right.
It's really not popular.
Yeah.
So he says, I'd rather be in Auschwitz in New York City. And then he says, I mean now, not when it was open. Right? Like, he's luring you into believing something and then pulling you back out.
And I have to tell you, I've been to Auschwitz now. Right. It's still really awful.
Really creepy and awful.
You really don't want to be there even now.
No, it's not exactly a... I mean, you did go on vacation to it, and many have.
And
however,
I was quickly taught by my wife, that's not a vacation.
Right.
Auschwitz, there's no part of vacation where Auschwitz fits.
It's the last time you were allowed on Travelocity. That's basically what that vacation was.
It was the last time I was allowed to make any vacation plans.
But I mean, he is not mocking... First of all, he's Jewish, but he's not mocking Auschwitz victims. And we get to this point where we all just kind of sit around and search for things that will be offensive to us, right? Like, I understand if you had a relative who died in Auschwitz, like, there is a, you know, there is a horrible, horrible, you know, memory that maybe it drags out. But again, you're going to a Louis C.K. show. We've been doing this since The Producers. Like, this, we've been mocking this stuff for a very, very long time.
It's the only way.
Heroes.
It's the... Right? Only way Hogan's Heroes. Yeah. It's the only way that humans can actually deal with something as dark as Auschwitz.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if you remember, was I still in the my mom's dead joke phase when we teamed up?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Well, I've seen you do this with Pat many times.
Oh, yeah.
Pat Gray, who you actually did it to him in an incredibly brutal fashion.
Oh, it was brilliant.
One particular episode.
It was brilliant.
Do you remember this? When he had first started in Houston, and he's on the air, and he's in, like, you're this big national radio host. Pat is starting a job, his first real, like, if I remember, it was his first, like, talk radio job.
Right.
And he's, you know, in the middle of endearing himself to the audience, which is an important part of the process. Because people, whenever you start on a new radio station, they all hate you for a while. You used to say 6 to 8 weeks. It was always longer than that.
It's much longer. You listen to me for 6 to 8 weeks, you'll hate me, and then you'll go numb inside.
Right.
And then you'll come out the other side, and you'll be like, I get it. It's funny.
It's
okay,
funny.
I got
it. Now I understand. So Pat's in the middle of that process, and you're already on the station he's going on to.
Right.
So he's like my best friend. He's a big national talk show host. I'll invite him on the air, and hopefully, you know, say that we're friends, and it'll make that process a little easier.
So now Pat and I worked for years and years and years together as a duo, and we were known for just tearing each other apart.
Mm-hmm.
And I would always bring my mother's death, he would say something, and then I would be like, thank you for reminding me that my mother is not here to be with me.
Right.
And he would he would get the laugh because everybody was in on the joke that that's what I always said.
Right.
And then he would make it worse by piling on.
Right. That was the kind of, you had like a standing routine.
Correct. And it was, it worked when the audience knew both of us.
Right.
But I had been waiting because Pat played that card so expertly every single time he could, where he would always win. I knew, oh, I can win this time. And so he was on KPRC, and he said something, and I said, wow, thank you for reminding me about my mother's death. And then he piled on as usual with a joke about suicide or something like that. And I was like, I can't. As usual, I said, oh, I can't believe this. I mean, that hurts so deeply. Well, the audience didn't know that this was a routine that we had done forever. And Pat got it about the third time a bite at the apple. And he's like, wait a minute, you have to explain this. And I'm like, explain once. That what? That is the most hurtful thing anyone has ever. I don't even know. Wow. I mean, wow, Pat. That was horrible. It was wonderful. For me, for him, it was hell for
a
few weeks.
Oh, yeah. He was explaining this terrible thing to the audience for weeks. However, the point is, though, we go to dark places for humor.
It's because it's the only way you can deal with it. When you have something, for me, my humor is really, really very dark.
Yes.
And I've never expressed my darkest side. Do you think ever on the air?
I don't, not in a long, long time, if you have ever.
Yeah. I mean, it's very, you work with me, it is very dark, to the point to where people are like, what did he just say?
And this was a problem as the staff started to grow, and you would just continue to do these things when people are on their first day.
Correct.
Right? So it was not always.
But it's funny.
It is funny.
It's funny.
To us.
Right. But you have to be in on the joke. Mm-hmm. If you're going to a Louis C.K., you know what you're getting.
Yeah.
You know what you're getting. You know that he is going to say offensive things and he's going to be funny about them. But, and I'm telling you, I think the next generation, the not millennials, what's the generation after? The I generation. Are you familiar with this? The I generation, the one that grew up with the Apple iPhone.
Okay.
Okay.
They're calling it the I generation?
They're calling it the I generation. My kids are part of the I generation. And I've seen their friends, and they are more politically incorrect. I mean, I think there's a massive backlash coming.
Yeah.
Because they just see it as stupid. Just absolutely stupid. They grew up on memes. They grew up on mean memes.
Yeah.
And they see how everybody's like, oh my gosh. I think there is a backlash of biblical proportions. And that's why Louis C.K. is, I mean, and what's his name?
Dave Chappelle.
Dave Chappelle. Mm-hmm. They are leading the way, and they can get away with it. You know, teenagers can't, but they're getting away with it at this point because it's really smart. That's a smart Auschwitz joke.
Yes. Okay? And it brings you down a road where you're like, oh, my God, what
is
he about?
That is horrible.
Oh, he actually is. Yeah, like,
not
he brings
now.
You back.
Not, I mean, not, now. Not then.
Not when
now.
It was open.
Yeah, that's great.
That's a great joke.
That's great because he's turned it on you.
Yes.
Like you were the bad
were the
one
problem.
Thinking that. Yeah.
I wasn't thinking that you were
you
doing
were.
It.
Oh, my gosh. I'm disgusted by you.
And both of those guys are technicians with
yes.
this stuff. They are tech. Yes. I mean, Chappelle, you know, for all the praise that he got from this last special from the right and all the opposition from the left, because he happened to say a couple things that I guess you might consider moderate. I mean, they weren't even like, it's not like he's a hardcore conservative here. He just said a couple of things that you might consider kind of moderate. And because of that, a lot of people on the right sort of discovered him beyond, you know, the Comedy Central show from back in the days. But the guy's a technician as a comedian. Comics will tell you that he's the comedian that they look up to because of just his ability as a surgeon with the art. And, you know, I think Louis C.K. is in that realm as well. I mean, and the fact that he's kind of now just doing these small clubs, and the only thing you ever hear about him is when he makes a joke that's offensive so that everybody can have their clickbait for a few weeks, because he's now, because he had these personal issues where it does not seem that he did anything illegal, but was kind of a dirtbag, that now allows click, 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 click every time he tells a joke about sex or about something tawdry, or even this, where it's just generally offensive. Well, he was always making offensive jokes. It was his entire career. His entire career was doing this with skill. And I think this is just another example of it. Now, he did do it in Tel Aviv, we should point out. So that is maybe a part of the reason why. But again, that's the
And Tel Aviv is not Jerusalem. Mm. Tel Aviv is New York City. You walk down the streets of Tel Aviv, you're either in Silicon Valley or New York City. It's a very, very liberal, progressive part of Israel. Mm. It's a totally... You go to Jerusalem, and it is... Jewish and sacred and religious. Tel Aviv is not. So it's, him going to Jerusalem and saying that joke would be taken differently than in Tel Aviv. It's still one that I would say I might leave out for Israel.
Yeah, it's still one in a country basically founded because of Auschwitz.
Yeah, it's risky.
It's risky.
It's risky. I mean, if I was advising him, I'd be like, I don't know, that one might be a little risky there.
Save that one for Iowa, maybe?
All right, I want to tell you about the X chair. This is what my wife wants for Christmas. That's what you're getting, honey. Congratulations. It's not going to be this way. I don't like it. Stu loves this. When his wife, because your wife just emails, get this, this, and this.
She was telling me the other day, she actually asked for a vacuum. Oh, yeah, send me the link. It'll be under the tree. Good luck.
A vacuum?
A vacuum. She wants a vacuum. You know what she wants for Christmas? Our floors to be cleaner. That's what kind of husband I am. You're welcome, America.
Wow. Wow. It is our 20th anniversary coming up. And January is our 20th anniversary.
You're
a vacuum, too.
No, she didn't ask for it. I'm just taking a chance.
Yeah.
Just going with a Dyson.
Yeah, no. Unless she's asking for it. And specifically for Christmas.
Oh, yeah. I want a link. I want proof. I want email evidence so I can bring
this
it to the audience later.
This is what you said you wanted. Because this is what my wife, she sent me a note. That's what I want for Christmas. I got home. I'm like, I know. And she's like, but they're on sale. The X chairs are on sale right now. And I'm like, honey, you know about the X chair because I read the commercials for them. Anyway, they have the dynamic variable lumbar support. They have 10 settings. They are really comfortable. I bought one for Steven Crowder as a welcome to the company kind of thing.
Oh, nice.
Because he was bitching about his chair. He's got a studio that is unbelievable. He built this studio just a few miles away from here, and it is gorgeous. And remember, we were in there. We were helping him move in, and we're like, this is beautiful. Yeah, except the chairs suck. So I'm getting him an X chair.
That's nice.
We have to do it this week. Come with me.
Oh, okay.
I got to do it this week. Anyway, X chair is what you need for the holidays. X chair 30-day, no questions asked, guarantee of satisfaction, zero risk. Call now, xchairbeck.com. It's on sale for $100 off. Plus, you get a free set of the new X wheels with your chair if you use the promo code Beck. It's xchairbeck.com, promo code Beck. 10 seconds, station ID. So I'm doing a show on television tomorrow because I've seen this. George Soros is back, in case you don't know. George Soros, who spent $1 million. Verify this. If I have this wrong, Stu, verify this. George Soros spent $1 million, contributed $1 million to Media Matters, something that he started, and contributed $1 million specifically to take me down.
Yeah,
I mean, am I wrong on that?
He did do that. It was in 2010, I believe it was. He said he spent $1 million, gave it to Media Matters to fight Fox News and its incendiary rhetoric, and specifically was targeting you because this was right after you did a series of shows about him and his influence. And again, this idea that because George Soros you know, is, I mean, the thing that they're now going after is they're like, oh, well, it's anti-Semitic to criticize George Soros. He's one of the largest Democratic donors. You can't just take the large Democratic donors off the table for criticism. Like, that's just not okay. Like, you don't do that with Sheldon Adelson at all.
No.
It's totally fine to criticize him, who happens to also be Jewish and also give a lot of money to Republicans. That's totally fine. But when it's George Soros, it's anti-Semitic. And that was basically, I mean, your point was, look at the networks this guy has built. Here are the things that he's done. He didn't like that you were exposing that and actually gave $1 million kind of specifically to target you. And they mentioned you by name in the statement.
So here's the thing. He's back because I did the Puppet Master show again. And not again. A new episode. And tonight, oh, it's even worse. Tonight, while I've been gone, my little Christmas elves has been working for more on the impeachment and on the deep conspiracy theory that's all anti-Semitic. You won't believe what we found tonight. Every show, every single show is like a special right now. It is the best work I've done possibly in my lifetime, but definitely in the last 10 years. You don't want to miss every show on Blaze TV. 5 o'clock tonight, we'll give you the update. But I was I got a letter from somebody who I actually respect, who is somebody that I'm not going to tell you who it is. He's a guy that I met with recently, about 6 months ago, actually had dinner. And he said I think he went through a friend of mine and said, I really want to have dinner with Glenn, but he hates my guts and he is not going to want to. And so my friend said, hey, you know, you want to have dinner with this guy? And he said, apparently you guys don't get along. And I said, I don't even remember. What are you talking about? And I had to Google his name to figure out, oh, wow, we were in a very public spat with each other. So I had dinner with him and I said, listen, past is past. And I forgive you if you forgive me and let's just move on. So he wrote to me, and he's Jewish, and he was one of the guys who was leading this anti-Semitic thing against me, using Soros money, if I'm not mistaken. And when we had dinner, he was talking about, look, I didn't know some of the things that you were saying. I didn't understand all of it. Well, he wrote to me recently, and he said, why are you doing the Puppet Master again? Why are you doing that? You know that's an Elder of Zion trope. And so I wrote him back. And I want to explain this. We have to take a break here real quick, don't we? Is that about 2 minutes? 1 minute? But I said that I said to him, it is. It is. But that's not how I mean it. And I think we need to define a few things. Because if you just say criticizing someone who is Jewish is anti-Semitic, I can't go there. And that doesn't, that there's no reason in that at all. So tomorrow is my answer to that. Tomorrow at 5 o'clock, because I've done a lot of homework over the weekend, and I think this is important to make sure that words have meaning, real meaning. And that's coming up on tomorrow's broadcast. Tonight, see what Soros is up to regarding the impeachment. Wait until you see the new connection we found. Tonight, 5 o'clock only on Blaze.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
When our money spends, when our government spends money, it's like water going through a sieve without the sieve. I know as well as you do, this cannot last. You can't print this kind of money, spend this kind of money. At some point, we're in real trouble. Now, if you're planning for an early retirement, how do you plan for that? Many Americans choose to diversify their retirement account and their savings with physical and precious metals. This can be the smart way to go. It is the way I go. Now, during the time where you're making money and storing up for the proverbial winter, you're going to want at least a portion of that to go to something that is as close to inflation proof as possible. That way, when it comes to the other side and things come down, you have some worth. Goldline is right now offering their 5-year IRA fees in bonus silver for qualifying self-directed IRA purchases. This is a great way for you to protect some of your investment for early retirement. Call Goldline now, 866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE. They're waiting for your call, 866-GOLDLINE.
BlazeTV.com, promo code is Glenn for $10 off your subscription. You get to watch Glenn and, of course, Steven Crowder in his new X-Chair.
So what is Joe Biden? What is Joe Biden's vision for America? You know, he's out on the campaign trail and he's talking about a lot of things. I think he was unfairly dissed for biting his wife's finger.
Yeah,
that was a joke. And if you actually watch it, it was fine. It was, you know, him trying to be funny.
Yeah, questionable whether you should do it in an appearance, but I mean, it was just a
right.
But it was supposed to be a warm moment between husband and wife. I don't know that it came off that way exactly.
Well, because
everyone.
Joe is a little creepy.
He's weird.
He's a little creepy, and he did say this in a speech, which somebody's got to stop him. Here it is.
And by the way, you know, I sit on the stand, and it get hot. I got hairy legs that turn that turn. Blonde in the sun, and the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight, and then watch the hair come back up again. They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap, and I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
I don't. I wouldn't include that in the stump speech. Exactly. It is. You're right. Michael Jackson said basically the same thing in his weird interview.
We go back to Michael Jackson. We're like, how did we miss this?
Yeah.
Are we going to go back to Joe Biden and say, how did we miss this? I don't think that he's a child molester.
No.
I think he is. I think he's a little weird. Mm-hmm. I think he's
very handsy.
Very handsy. Mm-hmm. But not with children. I think he's probably more handsy.
He's handsy with children. For
he
sure.
is. But I don't think that's a sexual predator thing.
I don't think so either.
Right, but there is the doubt that I don't care if you're Jill Biden, you have to recognize, good Lord, Joe, what were you when they got in the car? That's what Jill should have said. What were you thinking?
Mm.
Do you know what that sounds like?
Oh my God.
I didn't mean it that way.
Yeah, how is he not aware of this? Right,
right.
You can't explain this away with a stuttering article, which is what they tried to do. With his speech issues, his forgetting things, his not being able to find the right words. There's a big expose that came out that he was a stutterer, and that's the reason. It's all coming back now.
Oh, it's all coming
back.
Which
is not medically normal for it to come back after you've cured it, which they
right.
do put in paragraph 85 of the article or so. But just stop and think, because that's a ridiculous moment. Right. The idea of I love having kids jump on my lap. You could certainly you could dismiss that with a grandfatherly thing. But step back for a moment and picture what he has just described. Think of if you walked into a public pool and there are a bunch of kids around a guy and they're rubbing his legs down to watch the hair on his legs stand back up. You
a,
are calling the police in this situation,
yeah.
are you not?
And I don't believe that any kid would notice that on their own.
No.
I mean, that would be like, you would have to question the kids. Did you notice that or did he point that out?
Right.
Like, look, kids, you can rub my leg. It's just weird.
It sounds like the guy who in an airplane that comes in. Have you ever been to a Turkish prison? It's like that guy, it seems
right.
like. You ever see hair stand up on somebody's leg? Watch this. Try it. That's what it kind of seems
it does.
Like.
It does.
Now, I don't know why. I feel like there are definitely people who said the exact same things as Joe Biden, and I would think they were doing something illegal. I don't think it with Joe Biden. I don't know why. Maybe it's because he's famous. Maybe because he's goofy. I don't know what the reason is.
But it is something that normally statements like that are like the defining moment of a campaign. It's like, would you rather be a person who's like, you know what? I told a story about I was in a pool and a bunch of kids rubbed down my legs. And then I said, I like kids hopping on my lap. Would you rather have that moment? Or I wore a helmet in a tank. Like, right. Dukakis is like, what the hell? I was in a tank. Yes, my helmet was a little goofy. I lost because of that.
Even Ross Perot was like, yes, I had satellite dishes for ears, and I said a lot of crazy things, but it wasn't like that.
Come on. Yeah. And it's funny, now we have like, you know, two candidates here. If it's Biden versus Trump, you've got two candidates who have said things that aren't, they don't always come off right.
At the time of Me Too. These two guys, it's insane. It is the backlash. It's the backlash. I don't care. You say this about everybody. I don't care. Have you seen the polls on the impeachment? And I think this is not just because I don't care. I think there's a part of it, but I think the Democrats made such a bad case that people are just like, I don't think so. Yeah. I'm not interested. I don't think so.
I mean, the Democrats won the House. They can impeach him for anything. Okay. They control the entire process, and they will impeach him for everything. It was their job. It was not their job to impeach. That's easy when you have control. The question was, can you convince Americans who are maybe not resistors? They didn't sign up for Tom Steyer's website to impeach in 2017. I'm saying like normal, everyday, middle of the road to right leaning Americans. Can you convince any of them that this isn't just a ridiculous partisan exercise? And they have totally failed at that.
Kind of agree with Trump saying, I'm not participating in it because why give it any credibility?
Right.
It's ridiculous. However, you know, I don't believe this is what this was about. This was about him being a hand grenade going off in a very bad place for the Democrats and them having to do this to try to create a conspiracy theory to cover up the crimes that they were committing, including messing with the election,
right,
doing everything that they claimed Trump did. They did it in Ukraine. And I think he's got to move forward. If he doesn't do it in the House, I completely understand, unless it prohibits him from bringing that stuff into the trial over into the Senate. Because he's got to, you know, it's sometimes
right,
like, well, that was not part of the inquiry. That wasn't part of the original case. If they don't put that in, can they bring it up in the Senate? Because
should,
he's got to expose it.
They should be able to. I think you're right. I think they can have the best of both worlds if he doesn't participate in this part of it, which will make it look more like a partisan activity. It is, for sure. But I mean, you know, sometimes it's worth participating in these things to shape them in some way. The issue here, though, is you know, the impeachment vote's going to come to Democrats. It could be done completely by Democrats. The Constitution's very clear that the Senate controls the other part of this, so they can bring in whatever they want in. They're gonna try to get buy-in from Democrats to say it's a fair process. They've done this in previous examples of impeachments where they kind of at least come to the table and say, look, here we're at least agreeing on the rules, and they will try to do that with Democrats. But I don't think that's going to prevent them from bringing out their side of the story.
I hope so.
If they don't do that, then it's a complete failure by Senate Republicans.
Yeah,
they should be able to at least.
But that's what they usually do. That's what they usually do. One more vision of America. This one is from Michael Bloomberg. Now, Michael, as you know, is just a wonderful individual.
Oh,
that
has all sorts of Me Too problems himself, by the way. Oh, man. You should see some of the comments. They have him quoted in multiple articles by liberal journalists saying how he's objectifying women, how, you know, he has people who are on his staff saying, you know, that he used to come up to him when she, you know, one of the women said that when she waited too long to dye her hair, that he would come up to him and say, hey, how much does it cost to get your hair colored with those two colors, because you've got a third one, gray, coming in. Hey, look at the it wasn't butt, but a different word. Look at the butt on her, to a liberal journalist in front of liberal journalists. I mean, he was known for spouting. Well, they did. They actually put it in stories. And he was known for spouting off very anti-women, like, settle down, lady. I got that you have this job, but you're a woman. Like, stay down there. The glass ceiling is below where you are.
He's
currently
absolutely unlikable.
Yes.
He's unlikable.
Objectifying women like crazy.
Yeah.
No, for sexual reasons.
But I just want you to hear this new tactic by a Democrat on taxes. Listen to this.
Taxes are regressive, but in this case, yes, they are. That's the good thing about them, because the problem is in people that don't have a lot of money. And so higher taxes should have a bigger impact on their behavior and how they deal with themselves.
Mm.
So I deal listen to people saying, oh, we don't want to tax the poor. Well, we want the poor to live longer so that they can get an education and enjoy life. And that's why you do want to do exactly what a lot of people say you don't want to do. The question is, do you want to pander to those people, or do you want to get them to live longer? And there's just no question. If you raise taxes on full sugary drinks, for example, they will drink less. And there's just no question that full sugar drinks are one of the major contributors to obesity, and obesity is one of the major contributors to heart disease and cancer and a variety of other things.
So they know better.
Yeah.
Here's a progressive that knows better than the poor people.
Yeah.
He's going to make sure the poor people are good by taxing them out of everything that they may like.
Right. How do we save their lives? We take their money so they can't spend it on bad things. And, you know, it's funny. There are people who are more leftist than Michael Bloomberg, but I don't know if there's anyone more purely progressive than Bloomberg. He absolutely believes he is the smartest guy, and if you just implement what he wants, it will be better for you because you don't understand as much as he does.
I'll give you a tie on Elizabeth Warren, but they're cut from the same cloth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're smarter than everyone else in the room, and they have a plan for everything. You know who's responsible for MyPillow being the company that it is today? I mean, Mike Lindell. Yes, he has to invent it, but then it comes down to you. Comes down to him making the right product and then you talking about it, you believing in it, you sleeping on it every day, and them coming through with their promise versus performance. Well, Mike has a new incredible deal on his Giza Dream Sheets. I love the Giza Dream Sheets. These are, I didn't know that they were even my pillow. My wife got them online and I'm sleeping on them, and something came up about the dream sheets or something. We were talking about it, and I said, I love my sheets. These are just the most comfortable sheets. They're just great. And she's like, these are the Giza sheets. My wife is always trying to talk me into like linen sheets. We can wash them 1,000 times and they'll be a lot softer. It's like sandpaper. I'm a sheet snob. The Giza sheets are so comfortable and priced affordable at MyPillow. MyPillow.com. Click on the new radio listener specials to buy one pair of Giza Dream Sheets and get the other one free plus shipping. There's also deep discounts on all other MyPillow products too, so enter the promo code Beck or call 800-966-3117, 800-966-3117. Use the promo code Beck at MyPillow.com. Click on the new radio listener specials and you can buy one pair of Giza Dream Sheets and get one free plus free shipping. Promo code Beck. It's MyPillow.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to the program. So glad that you're here. The case for the Supreme Court is interesting. The one they're taking up with New York. Apparently in New York, you can only take your handgun, if you have a permit, which good luck getting one, you can only take it to one of 7 sites that are New York sanctioned in New York to shoot. If you have your gun, even if it is broken apart and the you know, the ammunition is in the glove box and the car is in the trunk, you still can go to jail for that.
Well, that was the ordinance they passed.
Correct.
However, they've repealed the ordinance. Why? Because they thought it was unconstitutional? No. They were worried about losing the challenge at the Supreme Court. So the liberals got rid of their liberal law because they were worried the conservatives would say unconstitutional so that other places couldn't do it. It's just hilarious. It shows how they're running from the court right now on this topic. They haven't done anything really since Heller, which was the big decision that said, yes, you can have individual right to firearms. And then there was a follow-up about Chicago after that, which said it's not just in, you know, Washington, D.C. You can't just pass city laws doing this. But there hasn't been a big ruling on guns in about 10 years. And this one, I mean, I think shapes up relatively well. I mean, we know for sure there's at least two votes in Thomas and Gorsuch who are on the right side of this. And it seems as if Kavanaugh will be on the right side. It's the speculation. I would be surprised to see Alito go a different direction, which gets you to four. Now, Roberts, of course, is a complete, you know, who knows? He just decides these things on whether what he thinks is going to look good in the papers the next day, it seems like. But that is it's a big one. And I think there's a good chance, there should be, this is an easy one. If you have a standard on firearms that is part of a constitutional right, cities can't pass ordinances that ban that right.
Then they're banning it to a point to where if you have a gun in the city, you can't, let's say you're going out to a hunting range outside of the state. You're going to a state where you're allowed to carry your gun, you know, and you have the right license for that state and you're going to the airport. You can't do it.
Yeah.
You can only move your gun from your home to a shooting range and one of the seven New York sponsored shooting ranges. That's it.
It's not the Second Amendment.
That is crazy.
And they know that. They've ignored these rulings. You know, the Supreme Court, like, oh gosh, you know, one ruling in 1972, Roe versus Wade, is basically, you know, the only thing in the Constitution as far as the left is concerned. And you can't challenge it. And it's settled law, blah, 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 blah. But when there's a conservative ruling in the Supreme Court, they just ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
They just pass all these laws anyway and wait for it to go up to the court and hope that they don't get accepted by the court, which is what the court has been doing relatively recently until this time. And here, the Supreme Court's going to take it on. And when they realize the Supreme Court was going to take it on, they're like, we just repealed that, and there's no reason for you guys to look at it. I mean, that was their defense. So this is going to be interesting. It should be obvious what should happen here. Whether it is obvious is, of course, under the power of John Roberts. And we've seen how that goes in the past. Sometimes it's okay, but most of the time it's questionable to insane.
Well, it should be common sense. It should be easy, and it would have been on the earth that you and I grew up on. But somehow or another, we all slipped through a wormhole, and we're on a different planet. Looks a lot like the place we used to live, but not so much. Not so much. We'll see how it changes even further with Epstein. Did he kill himself? Chad Prather next.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Hello and welcome. We have Chad Prather coming up in just a second. This half hour is sponsored by realestateagentsitrust.com. We have over 1,000 active agents all across the country. They're waiting to list your home and get it sold on time and for the most amount of money. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. And it's that. I called it that for a reason. This is my company. And I want to be able to trust the real estate agent when I'm looking for a house or I'm trying to sell my house. I need to know I have the best one. You do, too. So let us do the work and find the best one in your neighborhood, the best one in your area, the one that knows how much the houses are worth that you're trying to sell and how much the house is worth that you're trying to buy. It makes all the difference in the world to have somebody with real seasoning. These are the best of the best. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, go there now. And we call you back in like 10 minutes tops. Usually it's RealEstateAgentsITrust.com.
Thank you. fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
So we have conspiracy theories and we have conspiracy facts. Where does the Epstein murder or suicide fall? Is it still in theory, or are we starting to have facts that back up that theory? A guy who's done an extensive amount of work and has a three-part special out right now on Epstein and what happened is Chad Prather. He joins us in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
You know who loves Cyber Monday and the holiday shopping season more than anybody else? That is cyber criminals. Today, if you're doing any shopping online, they are out there hoping to get rich off of everybody who's shopping online today. Now, let me give you some tips to shop safely online. Make sure you use device security on your computers and your devices. Confirm that there is an HTTPS lock symbol in the URL of any website you're shopping on. Search only on the trusted vendor sites rather than search engines, and always use unique passwords and login information. Somebody's identity is stolen every 2 seconds, and today it's going to be really bad. LifeLock is there to detect a wide range of identity threats and alerts you if there is a threat that is detected. You should give them a call or visit their website right now. Nobody can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock sees the threats that you might miss on your own. And until December 8th, join in and get a special radio discount. Save 30% or more off your first year by using the promo code BECK. Call 800-LIFELOCK or visit LifeLock.com. Use the promo code BECK and save 30% or more off of your first year. It's LifeLock.com. I'm so excited about this special that is on the blaze. You can find it. If you're a fan of Chad Prather, you've probably heard him talk about it already. But if you don't know who Chad Prather is, and I want to know how you get this title, he's an American humorist. That's what you're classified as, an American humorist. And he's well known online for his commentary, just sitting in the cab of his truck. With his hat, which he's not wearing his hat today, and you're almost unrecognizable.
I'm channeling my inner Glenn Beck is what I'm doing. With is that all what these it layers is? And the sweater
yeah,
and the whole
yeah,
thing.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
Arctic temperature that you keep in the yeah. in the building here.
Yeah. So Pratt, Chad, you
that's Pratt's a good summary Pratt, of your
it's a summary
name,
of you, yeah. Pratt. Pratt. Chad, you did a three-part special on Epstein. When you started it, did you think that he killed himself? Did you think it was a cover-up? What did you think going into it?
I honestly did not know. I don't know that I had an opinion, but the further I got into it, the more questions that were raised. Like right now, if I was a betting man and had to put $1,000 on the line, I would probably take the bet that he killed himself. But let me raise some questions for you, because when we get into this special, everybody knows the 2008 sex offender who is convicted, 13 months of probation. When he does go to jail, they leave the door unlocked because he claims to be claustrophobic. He gets to go to his office 12 hours a day. He pays the West Palm Beach sheriff's office $128,000 so they can put a TV in the attorney's room. All of these little favors
it's
that
crazy.
He gets. He makes off-duty police officers wear a suit in order to check in his guests. He pays their salary. So that he can do business while he's in jail. We know that guy. He's a creep. What we don't realize is after that, a guy who tries to reinvent himself, who basically gets a ranch in New Mexico because he doesn't have to register as a sex offender there. It's in the middle of the King Ranch, which is not to be confused with the King Ranch in Texas. This is Bruce King. This is the governor of New Mexico, the family which passes down political titles and positions like family heirlooms, and he's right in the middle of their property. You can't go.
Did he buy their property to create?
He got this a little sweetheart deal from them. He buys 10,000 acres, builds an almost 28,000 square foot home there. He calls it a ranch. It's not a ranch. The people around the area thought that the owner of Victoria's Secret owned it because of the rotating models that were coming in and out of these young girls that are coming in and out of the place. But why New Mexico? Beyond being able to get away with not identifying as a sex offender, it's close to a lot of different facilities where there's cryogenics, transhumanism, there is all of the scientific things that are going on. For instance, there was a group that was collecting the sperm of Nobel Prize winners in order to create a new generation of smart people. Epstein bought into this idea, and his idea, along with his accomplice Ghislaine Maxwell, who is still very much alive, still very much at large, and has never been questioned by authorities, they concoct the idea of bringing in 20 young girls at a time, impregnating them with Jeffrey Epstein's seed, and signing away all rights to the progeny, the baby, and they're going to raise on this compound and create a whole new generation of Epstein's.
This is honestly master race kind of stuff.
This is big stuff. So this is a guy who is obsessed.
This is after he's already been in jail.
Exactly. This is a guy reinventing himself. This is the guy who's donating millions of dollars to Harvard. This is a guy who's donating to MIT. This is a guy who is a college dropout who is now sitting almost as though he is a colleague with these doctors from Harvard in these science programs, and they're treating him like an equal. This is a guy who's welcoming cohorts like Bill Gates and Elon Musk and Stephen Hawking, mm-hmm. who think of him as just harebrained, but they love the fact that he's got all this influence, right? So he's concocting this deal. And so you talk about conspiracy theories. This is fact. This is known fact. This guy is wanting to recreate himself. He wanted to have his head and his penis cryogenically frozen so that he could bring him back to life one day. Here was a guy obsessed with immortality. So now back to your original question. Did he commit suicide? Why would a man so obsessed with immortality kill himself? Why would a guy who, even when he was in jail most recently after his arrest 6 months ago, still be buying commissary favors from fellow inmates? Here's a guy who said that after his first, quote, suicide attempt, he said, I didn't try to commit suicide. My cellmate attacked me. So we can look at all of the different things between the video cameras being off, the lapse in time, the doctored logs with the prison guards, the people who did not watch him. Why was he left alone in his cell? Is it possible that he was murdered? Why is a guy who he already got off once, Glenn? Why doesn't he get off now? And if he's going to kill himself, why doesn't he just make a phone call? So my question is, okay, let's say he killed himself. Well, there had to be a reason. Had to be a reason why he killed himself. So if he did that, then somebody who's putting so much pressure on him, in essence saying, we're going to make your life a veritable hell if you don't do it to yourself. Like, we'll skin you alive kind of thing. Mm-hmm. We'll put you in a pot of boiling oil. You're going to suffer. Why wouldn't he just make one phone call and say, I have all the news that you want? Now, we saw on ABC, Amy Robach, she sits there on the hot mic moment, and she says, I had it all. It was the most prolific case of pedophilia we've ever known. This would have been the story of the century. This would have exposed more people than anything we've ever known. And the key is Epstein was ready to talk. So if he killed himself, why didn't he talk? He could have made one phone call. He's already beaten it once.
Yeah, but you are looking at when you get to suicide, my feeling is that it is the final and the greatest act of insanity.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So you can't necessarily apply, if a guy sees his world completely collapsing and he's convinced there's no way out, there's no way out, and he has some loyalty to some of the people that were helping him, he might think it's better this way. Now, I don't know it seems so many coincidences happened that there are real questions. I'm like you. If I had to bet, I would still bet that he did it himself, but I'm not betting more than, I'm probably not betting more than $500 on that. You know what I mean? Because I don't know.
So let's look at this thing, because you look at the BBC interview with Prince Andrew, who now the queen is basically disowning. And I feel like they're trying to put out a carpet fire with a vacuum cleaner. I mean, they just kind of trotted him out there and said, you do your best, Andy, because this BBC interview just made him look worse and worse and worse.
And now, they canceled his birthday party.
And remember, on the BBC interview, this is a guy who said, I don't like to party. I don't party. And I don't know if we have that clip of what I call party boy Prince Andrew. If we have time to show it, and Steve has got it pulled up, take a look at this. Let me show you what we're dealing with here with Prince Andrew, okay? I want you to take it over to that clip where he says, I'm not a partier. Take a look at this.
But he had the most extraordinary ability to bring extraordinary people together. And that's the bit that I remember, is going to the dinner parties where you would meet academics, politicians, people from the United Nations. I mean, it was a cosmopolitan group of what I would describe as U.S. Eminence.
But was that his appeal then? Was that what you... Because you were perceived by the public as being the party prince. Was that something you shared?
Well, I think that's also a bit of a stretch. I don't know why I've collected that title, because I never have really partied.
Unfortunately, if you're just listening to this on radio, you're missing all of the pictures of women licking his face at a party and everything else.
Was that something you added, Chad, or is that from the BBC interview?
That's from the BBC interview, which is classic. I mean, they threw him under the bus. Yeah. And by the way, Virginia Roberts, who, of course, there's the famous picture of him with his arm around the then 17-year-old Virginia Roberts, who, by the way, took off to Thailand. She, you know, Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein take her to London, wake her up one morning and say, today you're going to meet a prince. Talking about, of course, Prince Andrew. Then there's this picture out there, which, of course, they have said, it's a false picture, Photoshop. Photoshop had really not been out that long whenever this picture had, I mean, it was not,
and
there
you
was
can
a lot
tell.
Of things.
Yeah. You can tell if it's Photoshop.
And here's the thing, there's nothing wrong legally with this picture.
No.
I mean, you've put your arm around somebody's niece, you know, you've done, there's nothing wrong, there's nothing illegal.
He does it in a little bit of a little grabby way.
Yeah, I mean, she's wearing a halter top thing, there's some exposed midriff, and his hand is right there. You can see the flash in the window. And so we could analyze the picture, but at the end of the day, of course, yeah, I can explain this away. I'm not going to go over and over again, that's not me. Obviously, we know Andrew is the party prince. You saw the pictures that are there. And that's why I look at this and I think, because you brought up the point, Glenn, you said if his whole world is crumbling down, was it? We don't know. He's already gotten out once. There are plea deals that are there to be made if he wanted to do it, if you really want to truly expose some people that are involved in this. Now, because who's Jeffrey Epstein? 5 years ago, did the average American really know who Jeffrey Epstein was?
No,
of course. It's this conspiracy idea. And the drama around it that has made him basically a household name. He's now a nonstop memes. We've made jokes about this thing. And let me be real clear, because I've gotten accusations here of people saying, well, it's almost like you're feeling sorry for the guy. No, I'm glad he's dead. Let me just be real clear. I'm glad the earth is a better place without Jeffrey Epstein in it. But here's the thing. How many more Epstein-esque influencers are out there? People like Ghislaine Maxwell, who was the queen to his king on the chessboard, who orchestrated all these things, who took a Virginia Roberts, which, by the way, we had it lined up for Virginia Roberts to come on the show via Skype from Australia.
Wow.
Because what I started to say earlier, Stu, is that she went to Thailand for, long story short, Epstein sends her to Thailand and says, bring me back a young girl. She gets over there, and within 5 days, she meets her now husband, who's from Australia. He takes her to Australia and basically gets her out of this Epstein world that's there. Because she was project number one in New Mexico in terms of who they were going to impregnate. She was going to be the experimental test case. So Virginia Roberts, of course, who is seen as 17 years old in this picture with Prince Andrew, she's the one, and they basically put a gag order on her. Tonight, there will be a BBC interview with her that comes out. So we couldn't get her. She had to cancel for us. But we did talk to her on the phone, It's quite compelling when you see what was
all
going
on. Hang on just a sec, because I would like to hear a little bit more of what what we know for fact, what was happening on this ranch. Back in just a second. Let me pause for 1 minute, then back with Chad Prather, who is, you can find the special on the blaze.com, blazetv.com. Make sure that you you watch it. Where else is it available?
You can go to my YouTube channel, the Chad Prather. Search that. We've seen almost 20,000 new subscribers just in the last 6 days because of this special. So it's a lot of people's
seeing. It's a great special. Are you looking for the perfect handgun? One that is great for self-defense as well as, you know, the day at the gun range. I'm a proud Second Amendment supporter, which is why I'm a USCCA member. And right now, the USCCA has great news. They're giving away 19 guns. 19 lucky listeners are going to win $1,000 each to buy the gun of their dream. 19 listeners are going to take $1,000, and you can buy the gun, that whichever one you want. Just text Beck to the number 87222 for the official rules and to lock in your 19 chances to win. This ends on the 31st. There's not a lot of time to waste. The clock is ticking. You could be one of those lucky people right before the holidays or right after the holidays. It goes up until December 31st. Just text the word Beck to the number 87222 and enter. It's really easy. You can enter in seconds. Confirmation text is going to be sent. Time is running out. Text the word Beck, B-E-C-K, to the number 87222 for your 19 chances to win. That's B-E-C-K to the number 87222. For more information and rules, go to protectanddefend.com. Standard message and data rates do apply. We pause for 10 seconds. Station ID. Okay, so, Chad, what did you find out about what really has happened? Or did they impregnate any of these girls in New Mexico?
Not that we know of. Not that anybody that we can verify. So I'm assuming no. This was the plan, though. And when we get into the special, we take the first episode to really build a case because there's a huge cast of characters that are there. And what my producer, Candace Ortiz, did is...
Great job by Candace.
She's incredible. Mm-hmm. I told her, I said, you can never leave me. She's just amazing with the research that she does. But she likened it to a chessboard. Of course, Epstein being the king, Ghislaine Maxwell being the queen. And so we build this cast of characters that are out there. And then it builds kind of into a crescendo force as we get to the third episode, and people are just kind of left with their mouths wide open because it's amazing. Not only so here's a guy, this was not about money, because that's what people go to. They say, well, here's a billionaire. Of course he could do anything he wanted to do. This was not about money. The man who was a college dropout, who was at Bear Stearns for 1 year. He couldn't even teach high school physics or math at the Danbury School in New York, which is a prestigious school. Now he's sitting there with Harvard scientists. He's sitting there with MIT scientists. He's talking with some of the top innovators.
Well, he was doing that because he was trying to recast himself as an innovator, as somebody who was a patron of innovation and science.
Right. And you look at this guy who's trying to reinvent himself. He was buying influence.
Right.
So Bill Gates did not need Jeffrey Epstein's money, but his influence seems pretty appealing. The same with an Elon Musk, a Stephen Hawking. And at no time do we take any of these people and accuse them of pedophilia or anything like that, because that's naturally where the human brain goes to. What we're doing is pointing out, why would you? Why would you hang out? And that was the question brought up by the BBC to Prince Andrew. Why would you continue to associate with this man that is, and listen, the news media has consistently come out, and this is the way they describe him, financier and sex offender. Financier and sex offender. Why in that order? Why would you legitimize him first by saying he's a financier and then say, oh, and by the way, he's a sex offender? Mm-hmm. Every news media outlet, every print outlet continues to do that. We've even done it here at The Blaze. And it's one of those things where it's like, no, this guy was a pedophile. No question about it. We know this for a fact.
And Andrew was hanging out with him at his house after the conviction, too, which was one of the big issues, right?
And I think we have a clip of that as well. Oh. Stephen wants to run it. This is a pretty interesting little clip here because he's questioned by the interviewer here as to why would you continue to stay at this 41-bedroom mansion, the largest individually owned residence, which, by the way, there's never any evidence that he ever bought this penthouse in Manhattan.
Hmm. That's weird.
East side. And so, pretty interesting story.
Here's the clip.
Yeah. The 1970s marked the first appearance of Jeffrey Epstein on the social radar. The king of networking was just getting started. But what Jeffrey Epstein was after was much more than money, more than status, more than wealth. He was after immortality. Now, for the second part of this series, we're not going to shy away from anything. And that's not a warning. That's a promise. We're going to drop some big names, and we're going to make some very big revelations. How did a man like Epstein become accepted into the highest powers of society? And when I say the highest, I mean the very top. Princes, scientists, geniuses, billionaires, they stood aghast, basking in the limelight that Epstein emitted. Nobody seemed immune to his charm. But why? What did a college dropout like Jeffrey Epstein have to offer men like Bill Gates and Prince Andrew, Stephen Hawking, and Elon Musk? These people have more money than God, and yet they found it wise to stick around Epstein for the heck of it. Now, take Prince Andrew, for example.
Watch the entire special. It's a three-part special. You can watch it on Chad Prather's YouTube page. If you are a subscriber to The Blaze, it is already up there and ready for you to watch. Just go to blazetv.com/Beck. If you're not a member, you can subscribe. Use the promo code Glenn. You'll get a 10% discount, but it is well worth watching. Chad, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, good work.
Thank you.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Hey, if you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business. I asked for this for years when we first got in, but remember, we got into this business when there was still, you know, buffering speed problems. And I was constantly asking, can we get a dashboard that shows what's happening in all of these different things? We had to make decisions blindly many times. That's not a good way. You need a clear picture of what's going on. If you don't have that, you just do it on your gut, or worse, you do it on fear. NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud-based business system, offers the full picture of all your finances all in one place in real time from your phone or your desktop. So you don't have to worry about the things that, you know, what do I not know that could kill my company? Do it right now. Schedule your free demonstration right now and receive their free guide, 7 Key Strategies to Grow Your Profits, netsuite.com. That's netsuite.com/Beck. Do it now, netsuite.com/Beck.
Make sure to watch all three parts of Chad Prather's special on Jeffrey Epstein. You can get him on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts, and listen to his show every day. It's the Chad Prather Show.
So the impeachment hearings are continuing this week. We have some new information to present to you that I think, if you've been following it, you will still be surprised, because you won't believe that they left this trail so easy to find in public documents. But we have some new information for you tonight at 5 o'clock on The Blaze TV. There's also a new voice that's being heard, and that is of Stu Bregeer, our producer here. His wife is in the industry as well. Her name, of course, she kept it for the industry. Her name is Lisa Page. And so you're going to be seeing a lot of Lisa Page in the news.
Trending nationally almost every day, it seems, which I'm sure she's pleased about.
Yeah.
Now, of course, my wife's name is spelled with an I, P-A-I-G-E. Lisa Page, who you might know from the impeachment scandal, is P-A-G-E. However,
right. That's what exactly what Lisa Page would want you to think.
Which one?
Have you seen them at a party together?
Oh my God. Same person. Is that true?
I mean,
wait, this is like Mr. and Mrs. Smith, right?
What, yes.
They act like normal wives at home, yes. Angelina Jolie, and then she went and then she was like murdering people. Maybe right. This is the scenario.
This is the same thing. You're living with Angelina Jolie, which could be bad.
Yeah.
Could be good. It's up to you.
It's weird because every day, you know, you wake up and you see your wife's name trending about an affair. It's a little odd. it's a little strange to see.
Yeah.
Because she had an affair with Peter Strzok. If you don't know these background figures, or you maybe just heard their names, they were two people. She was a lawyer. He was one of the bigger investigators into not only Trump and the beginnings of the Russia contact stuff, but also the Hillary email scandal. They're very involved in this, and they both despised Trump and did not want him to be president. So there's a lot of text messages about them trashing Trump that became public, by the way, against the promises, apparently, of the inspectors at the beginning, because they knew, hey, we're going to look into all of your texts. And they said, OK, we're going to tell you something up front here. We've been having an affair with each other and we'd really like that to not come out. Of course, it did come out, and they claim it was released against a specific promise by the government at the time. Now,
well, there you go, kids. Liberals, learn your lesson. Never trust the government.
There you go. It's a small government message.
Hello.
So it is weird. And now she has come out and given an interview for the first time. She had I believe it was an 18-month period where she wasn't allowed to do any press after leaving the government. She did leave in 2018. And now she has this voice that she can go to different media outlets, and she's starting to do that. She's very upset at the president targeting her for ridicule. And
I'm so tired of this.
I know. Well, she specifically mentioned, I guess at one point he sort of faked sexual noises with her name in the middle of it at a rally.
Probably was bad.
So I guess that was the thing that set her off.
Yeah, that... Which might set me off, or you know, my wife off.
It's not ideal. It's suboptimal.
Yeah, yes.
Is what I would use.
Yes.
But the fact that she's out there now is just, you know, more fuel to this fire. You'd think, you know, what happens a lot of times with these behind the scenes witnesses is they're much more powerful when you don't hear from them. You know, we learned this, I think, with Mueller. For example, and he wasn't a witness, but he was running the Mueller investigation. The Mueller report was given all this credibility. And then he comes out in front of the public and is asked questions. He's like, Donald who? I don't even know. He didn't know anything about the investigation.
Right.
The same thing happened, I think, with Comey. Mm-hmm. You know, Comey was this high level, very respected. Everybody on both sides agreed he was the greatest guy in the world. Then he came out and started doing his testimony, which just a little bit. And then when it came to book and interviews, it really went downhill. He just came off, you know, almost like just a partisan guy who doesn't like Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And so these things, I think, have more power when they're mysterious figures. You don't know who these people are. So it'll be interesting
to see. Well, it's like the unnamed Democrat running against Donald Trump. Yeah, all of the Democrats are for that.
Right.
And then they look at them and they're like,
not that Democrat. Not I wanted the unnamed one.
Right. Yeah. Can we keep him unnamed?
Yeah. It's the, you know, this is it's like in sports, of course, you'll immediately connect with this analogy, but it's the backup quarterback syndrome. So the guy who's the backup quarterback is everybody's favorite player
until he has to
freaking get on the field and throw nine interceptions, and then everyone hates him. But when he's on the bench and the starting quarterback is suffering and struggling, then
bring him in.
Yeah. So this is, I think, what happens with. It's what's happened with the impeachment thing with Ukraine, right? You had all of these rumors about, oh my gosh, he did this on this call, and these people knew this, and these people knew this. Then they come up and they're testifying about it, and you're like, well, this is what they have? It's a big letdown. It's like movie trailer to movie, right? The movie trailer looks super exciting, and then all of a sudden you're watching the movie, and you're like, this is all the four good moments they put in the trailer, and everything else sucks. You know, and that's kind of what's happened with the impeachment, and it's why I think America's turning a bored eye towards it right now.
So I, you know, you said a lot there, and I was listening up until a point, and then my mind started to wander a bit.
I never get you for more than 30 seconds.
No, it's I'm sorry, riddled with ADD. Yep. But hear me out here. Mm-hmm. Don't you think The Gong Show had all the answers. You remember The Gong Show?
I do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the unknown comic that wore a bag over his head?
That I don't remember. I loved that show as a kid.
But you don't remember the unknown comic?
No.
Oh, you got to look up The Unknown Comic. He wore a bag over his head. He was gonged every time.
Mm-hmm.
But there was something good about him, and you never really, you didn't know who it was. It could have been somebody really good, could have been somebody not really good.
Right.
But he was the unknown comic. If they just put a bag over all of the people's heads that are testifying, and you don't really know, could be Melania. May not be. Probably not be.
Okay. I like
it
this.
It adds a little more excitement, because when they drag these people out, you're like, oh, well, that person's no good. I mean, they're not funny.
No.
But if they have a bag on their head, you're like, probably not funny, probably no good, but I don't know. Let's hear them out. Could be somebody good underneath there.
There's something here, and I think if you extend it, what if in the hearings they put a gong in there for people to just start hitting to stop the, when they get bored? Like, that's
can
the boring
the
question.
Republicans use
them.
It too?
Yeah, I think they. I think honestly, it should be in control of the American people.
I think you've just
elect a representative who goes there and plays the character of Chuck Barris. Chuck Barris.
Yeah,
and he hangs out there with the gong, and we just say, okay, when we get bored,
that's the speaker
as
of the
country.
House. Chuck Barris is the Speaker of the House, and they start going down. You know, and I wanna name another post on it. Bong.
And they just get ejected, and they have a new election.
They're done.
They're
done. All right. So I got a note from my wife, because about an hour ago I started talking about X-Chair. And my wife just texted, and I want to show it here. I want that chair. It's right there. I don't want to show it because the other thing's in there too. But she was like, I want that chair. She wants the X-Chair. I get it, honey. I get it. Now, I'm a little grumpy about it because I like to get my wife surprises. I like to do something that is surprise, and she doesn't know it's coming. However, those don't ever work out for me. Never. I mean, I'm like, this year I got it. This year. Nope. Now, I know one guy who did this and really thought he was good at giving presents, and no one ever told him he was really bad at presents. I'm not kidding you. One Christmas, he got his wife a monkey. Because he thought she would like a monkey.
What?
I'm not that bad. But I don't need, you know, I don't need the constant reminders about the X-Chair. I got it, honey. She wants it. She's like, it's so comfortable. I come to the office. I sit in yours. Then I go to my office in the home and I don't have an X-Chair. Okay. I got it. The dynamic variable lumbar support, 10 settings. The X-Chair is what you need for a comfortable, comfortable work day. And it's on sale now for $100 off. Just go to xchairbeck.com. And I swear to you, if they only have one of these left, it's mine. It's mine. I'll fight you to the death for it, because I'm a dead man if it's not there under the tree. What's in the big box? You know what's in the big box. Anyway, xchairbeck.com, xchairbeck.com, on sale now for $100 off. You can call them 844-4XCHAIR or go to xchairbeck.com. Use the promo code Beck.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
So this, I think it's Saturday night. It's Saturday, the December 7th. I'm doing a Christmas show in Salt Lake City. Some tickets are still available, and we'd love to have you there. But telling some Christmas stories. Now, I'm not sure. I think I can get away with being incredibly honest, because no one in my family is attending this show.
Ah,
so every other show I've done, I'm thinking about putting in. Did you see what Pete Davidson did? The SNL comedian.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He put in $1 million non-disclosure agreement. Everybody in the audience has to sign a non-disclosure agreement, or he'll sue you for $1 million if you say anything outside of the show. So I think, because my family's not going to be there, I'm going to need a $2 million NDA from every member of the audience. Because you just, you never know, especially, I mean, Stu knows this. Sometimes I walk on stage and I just turn everything off and say, yeah, I'm not going to do any of that. And those are very dangerous shows. And right. I feel kind of like that.
Well, it's like the, it's whatever's good at the moment in your head.
Yeah.
Which will benefit you and make the show better, which makes for a great show, does also not ruins
make for,
your life.
Yeah, does not make for a good home life sometimes.
Yeah.
So I will need a $2 million non-disclosure agreement from every member of the audience. Now, if you just keep your fat mouth shut, if you're ever around my wife or my family,
it's going to cost you $0.
They won't, nothing to worry about. However, I have attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
And you say anything in the outside world where my wife can hear it, well, I'll sue the pants off.
Into oblivion.
Yeah.
Yeah, to the point of you will never recover financially.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the guarantee of going to a fun show about that's Christmas-themed in Salt
mm-hmm.
Lake City.
Mm-hmm.
That's what
and
you
it's
get.
In Salt Lake City, and I was thinking about this. Think about this, because, you know, it's a Christmas show in Salt Lake City. If I just open the show and I say, look, I know Jesus Christ is the savior of the world, I'm going to make a mint. Because, you know, all those Mormons and the religious type, they're going to, they say that all the time,
oh,
especially
okay.
on Christmas time.
Ah.
I'll bilk everybody. Yeah, you bought your $30 ticket. Yeah. It actually cost you $2,030,000. Okay.
And I'll say, like, you might be thinking right now, wow, that was a really controversial thing Glenn just said. I should report it. Well, you're under a non-disclosure agreement, unfortunately. It's implicit when you listen to this show.
Thank you, Stu. Thank
it
you.
Is that you are under a non-disclosure. Anything that's talked about on this program cannot be shared with anyone.
Santa was going to make an appearance, but Santa suit doesn't fit me anymore. So
wait, hold on.
Yeah.
You have a Santa suit that uh-huh. you've outgrown. Does that even happen to Santa?
I mean, like, his is more of a magical suit. You know what I mean? Mine was made, you know, not by Mrs. Claus. Mm-hmm. It doesn't fit me.
I mean, Santa goes around the world and eats cookies at almost every single house and is still fitting into a suit.
Yeah.
And you're not fitting into your suit.
Yeah.
Do you have any, have you done any scientific analysis as to why you're not fitting into the suit? Is there any reason you can think of? Any behavior that it would cause something like this to occur?
Well, I in an unrelated and completely unrelated story, I am concerned that I may be out of breath by the time I get to the center of the stage.
Well, it's a big stage.
Big,
to be
big
fair.
Stage. Big
and
stage.
It's not downhill, the walk.
Yeah.
It's flat.
Yeah. Right.
Which is challenging.
Right. Well, downhill's a little challenging, too. You got to kind of slow yourself down when you, you know, when you have that mass of gravity
right.
and it's pulling you down, it's hard down or up.
Well, part of this is because you spent Thanksgiving with vegans.
Which is a blessing and a curse. Because my family, now about half of them are on either special diet, you know, for epilepsy or just because they decided to go vegan.
Right.
And, you know, when you buy an 18-pound turkey and there's only four of you to eat it and you cook like you used to cook when you were cooking for 12
mm-hmm.
and there's only four because everybody else is having like a cauliflower steak, which I didn't.
Is not a thing.
I didn't.
Don't get fooled.
Well, I didn't break the news to them. I wanted them to live in their happy little world that was a steak. It's just a thick piece of cauliflower.
It is.
That's all it is.
They keep telling you it's a steak at restaurants. It's not a steak.
But the good news is, and maybe you should do this at Christmas, if you're watching your weight, you should not do this. But invite a bunch of vegans instead of your family.
Mm-hmm.
Because then there's like food for 12 and there's only four of you eating it.
and then your Santa suit doesn't fit.
And you did. And you did. And that tends to make one not fit into a Santa suit. So sorry, kids. Santa is not going to make an appearance. But a very overweight Colonel Sanders without the white suit might.
Oh man, getting old sucks. I've definitely noticing it's not fun.
No, you know what it is? You and I made the wrong choice. You and I swore off exercise.
Oh, I hate it.
I hate it. Mm-hmm. More than poison, I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to the point to where you're like, doctor looks at you, you're going to die unless you exercise. Let me think about that. I'm not
right. Because,
I'm not sure.
I mean,
which is worse?
Save some CO2 for the environment.
Right.
There's some positives.
Right.
Greta would be happy.
Greta would be happy, and she's never happy.
No,
she's never happy. She's like Mikey from the old Life commercials. Greta, she hates everything.
The Greta thing is weird, man. She is watching some of those videos today in preparation for non-disclosed things.
Yeah.
There's an omen thing going on there.
Right?
She is not happy.
Her family is afraid of her. I swear to you, her family is afraid of her. If you ever see a Rottweiler near that kid, she controls the Rottweiler. She might be the Antichrist. She is so angry about everything. Her family is afraid. That's why they're sending her overseas on a slow boat. Honey, just go. No, you can go by yourself.
CO2.
Go ahead.
You should go to the slowest way possible because of CO2 and stuff.
Right, and then make the round trip. We'll see you in about 8 months, maybe, if we're around.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.